Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome to Thursday. We hope you're having a terrific Thursday. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I am Kim Monson. Molly Vogt is on vacation this week. I hope she's having a great time. I haven't even talked to her. She's having a real vacation. Normally, we talk to each other 20 times a day. So we'll get back to normal next week when she returns. We are the AmeriChicks. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of information there. We're the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter. And all of our shows are archived on our website. And so go there, particularly our Friday afternoon shows, which are our World War II project. And we're going to have something very special for you guys tomorrow as well. Now, as the AmeriChicks, we are sleuths for truth. There are so many things that are going on in America today. And we need to peel these things back and search for truth. And so that is one of the first things that we do. We look at these issues. We dissect them as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And then we educate, we inspire, and then we encourage people to engage. It is going to take each one of us doing at least one thing to hold these freedoms that we hold so dear and hold on to the American idea. So we are the AmeriChicks. We find this is really important. And we're very excited about the show that we have planned for you today. Jay Davidson, founder and CEO of First American State Bank right here in the Denver metro area, is our guest. He's typically on once a month, typically under our Empowering the Economy program. And so we'll talk about the economy. We're also going to be talking about a piece that Victor Davis Hanson had recently published in Town Hall, The Progressive War Against the Dead. Taking down all of these statues is absolutely kind of mind-boggling. And so we will be talking about Victor Davis Hanson's piece on that. But I'd like to address it just a little bit because of all of this divisiveness. This did not happen overnight. I remember probably 20, 22 years ago, I was in a board meeting of a women's group of which I was president. And we were talking about some different issues out there, and one woman gave an opinion, and another woman, instead of looking at her and debating the issue, she said, "I am so offended by what you just said." And I kind of sat back and I thought, huh, this is very curious. But then I realized that that was, even that long ago, was starting to lay the seeds for all of this divisiveness that we have in America today. And this divisiveness is taking away our hope, and it's taking away our freedom. And so we need to start putting our thinking caps on. We need to start having conversations about these big ideas, these ideas that have made America great. And so we have on the line with us Jennifer Schubert Aiken. She is one of the co-founders of the Steamboat Institute. And they are having a big to-do up in Steamboat this week or this weekend. And I know, Jennifer, you're going to start things here shortly. So thanks for calling in. And what's it like? Are you going to have good weather up there in Steamboat?
Oh, Kim, thanks for having me on the show. The weather is beautiful. It's going to be a spectacular weekend in Steamboat for our 9th annual Steamboat Institute Freedom Conference and Festival. And I just couldn't be more excited. We have Steve Forbes giving the keynote dinner speech up on top of the mountain.
Wow.
We have an exclusive exhibit of President Bush's portraits of world leaders. We have a film festival featuring Sean Hannity's new film, Let There Be Light. And your listeners can check it out at steamboatinstitute.org. We do still have a few tickets left if you want to come up to Steamboat.
Well, that is terrific. And Jennifer Schubert Aiken, this is your 9th conference. I mean, you really have been kind of ahead of the curve. Many of us have been waking up the last few years and saying, you know, we need to engage in conversation. We need to get our brain around these ideas. And so you guys starting the Steamboat Institute 9 years ago, you were, in a way, I think, a little ahead of our time, but it is an important thing that you're doing right now.
Well, thanks, Kim. And I heard your earlier remarks about the divisiveness and the, you know, the ugly rhetoric and the arguing that is counterproductive, not debates, but unpleasant rhetoric. And what we're trying to do with the Steamboat Institute and this weekend, our theme actually this weekend is the art of leadership, inspiring and elevating the human spirit. And it's about having substantive, productive discussions of the issues. Yes, we have our differences, but there are ways we can talk about policy without being hateful to one another and actually come up with some real solutions that will help people.
And there are solutions out there. You know, when in our founding, all the guys were in the room trying to figure out the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It took a while. They didn't agree, and there had to be give and take. But I think the important thing that people need to realize is they had this goal. They had this value of the individual, this value of freedom, this value of property rights. And we've kind of let America get away from that. And I think part of it's in our education system. And I think many of us, we've been busy with our lives. We haven't paid attention. We haven't engaged in this dialogue. We haven't put our thinking caps on. And so I just love what you're doing up there at the Steamboat Institute.
Well, thanks, Kim. And, you know, one of the reasons we've been successful is with this annual Freedom Conference, people come to the mountains, they relax. It's a beautiful setting. They let their guard down a little bit, and they're actually willing to sit down and talk about the issues. There's no screaming. There's no angry rhetoric. It's thoughtful, substantive policy discussions that I wish we would see more of in Washington, D.C., frankly.
Yeah, we'd like to export you to Washington, D.C. So that is Jennifer Schubert Aiken with the Steamboat Institute. And again, you said there's a few tickets. How can people get those?
Go to steamboatinstitute.org. We do still have a few left. We're starting tomorrow at kickoff luncheon with James Taranto of the Wall Street Journal, which should be a blast. So the keynote dinner tomorrow night, Steve Forbes on the mountaintop. So steamboatinstitute.org. And what we're telling them is this year we're draining the swamps by bringing them to the mountains.
Oh, I love it. Well, good luck. I wish I was going to join you, but next year, okay?
All right, you bet.
When we come back, Jay Davidson is in studio. I love the conversation. He's a real thinker, great sense of humor. We'll be right back. When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes. Oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the American sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. All new movies are a triple feature and only $8. Children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. 88 Drive-In Theater, the last remaining original drive-in theater in the Denver metro area. And they've been serving the community since 1972. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar. Monday through Thursday, get their special pizza deal. One 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.com. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks send you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the Americhicks. Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Check out our website, americhicks.com. And Don, you know what? Now that Molly's gone, I'm gonna get some new bumper music, okay? I'm gonna get that for you. Hey, I am really excited to have Jay Davidson in studio with us. Jay Davidson is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank, right here in the Denver metro area. And our conversations with you, Jay, are really enlightening. I cannot tell you how many people stop me and say, that guy's pretty smart. And I said, well, he's kind of a smart aleck sometimes,
well,
too.
I sure fooled them, didn't I? That's my job. I'm a politician, right?
No, you're not. You are an entrepreneur. And you are someone that, I mean, you really drive the American dream. I mean, it's been community banks that have really kept Main Street in business.
Exactly right.
And it's really great to have you in studio. So welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I really appreciate all the work you and Molly do.
Well, thank you. We have a lot of things we talked earlier today, and typically daily that you will put something out, maybe referencing a Wall Street Journal article with your thoughts. And they're always very thought-provoking. I love reading them. And today or yesterday, there was a piece by Victor Davis Hanson, who we've had on the show for a couple of days or a couple of different times. And after we talked today, I thought, you know, we need to get him back on. So I've reached out to his office.
Wonderful.
But the progressive war against the dead. Wow.
That's a mind-stopping heading for an article, especially from an historian and an economist like Victor Davis Hanson, one of the most brilliant men alive today, mm-hmm. and one of the most delightful people to, as you know, talk with.
He's humble. He's so humble.
It was kind of interesting to experience the flurry of activity after Donald Trump said both sides were wrong, basically, in the Charlottesville riots.
Which I agreed with.
I agree with him. Both sides are wrong. None of us are going to sit here and say that we like these white supremacists and so-called neo-Nazis, and they're not even Nazis, honestly.
Right, because Nazi was the National Socialist Party of Germany.
The Socialist Democrat Party, mm-hmm. I might add, of Adolf Hitler. And Nazism differs from communism only that Nazis allow, fascism allows the business to retain their business, but all the produce from the business goes to the federal government. There's no such thing as profitability. And communists simply take 100% of the business over, and they run the business themselves. This is bound to fail, and this is why F.A. Hayek, the godfather of the Austrian School of Economics, wrote in his book, The Road to Serfdom, any socialist who really understood economics would not be a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Socialism, communism, fascism, even democracy in the true sense of the word of a democracy, which always devolves into an oligarchy, into a rule of the few over the many,
mm-hmm.
they all fail for one reason, because they don't promulgate individual freedoms and they don't promulgate the right to individual property and individual ownership or the right to own your own business and make a profit at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's such a disaster what Barack Obama, Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton and that ilk of people have done to our nation over the past 8 years. Well, actually, since FDR.
So right. It's been a long time in coming.
Yes, it has.
You know, Jay, I have mentioned this story once or twice on the radio, but I want to get your take on this. I had a friend that just recently was talking to a friend of hers whose granddaughter just went to kindergarten last week, mm-hmm. first day of kindergarten. And she was so excited, and she went out and they got all the supplies on the long list. And I remember school. I loved the first day of school. And when I was a kid, you had these little boxes. You had your name on it. You got all your supplies, your pencils, and your scissors and your glue and all that. And that was yours. You put it in your desk, and you were responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
So this little girl had gone out and gotten her supplies, and one of the things was scissors. And so she had gotten some Frozen scissors, you know, from the movie Frozen.
Oh, sure.
Because
mm-hmm.
all the little girls just love that. And mm-hmm. so she was very excited about it. She gets to school last week, and she has to put those scissors in a communal basket. And then the first project that the kids did, some little boy ran over and took her Frozen scissors before she got to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, my gosh, are we teaching socialism in kindergarten?
We absolutely are. It's starting very young. It's sad.
You know, and then I thought about it a little bit more. Next year, when they go to get their school supplies, are they going to get the really nice scissors? Or are they going to just get the kind that they say they're safety scissors and they don't cut a thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so ultimately, you move to mediocrity at best when you're in that type of situation. And so I'm thinking I need to write a piece about this.
I think you should. I think that would be a very good idea. Now, the whole idea behind socialism is everybody's equal. It's like the communist saying, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Sorry, folks, that doesn't work. It sounds good, and it works in the family, but when you go beyond the family unit, it absolutely doesn't work, and it leads to absolute destruction of independent business, independent ownership of property. And it's been proven time and again, every time these people try to implement a socialist program in a nation, it fails. And I give you the recent examples of communist China is now a capitalist society. Russia has failed for the very reason that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. England failed and now reverted back to a more capitalist form of government and economy. Sweden, same way. They almost failed. In fact, their country almost went bankrupt. Now they're reverting back to a little bit more of a capitalistic mm-hmm. way of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
But I found Victor Davis Hanson's article kind of interesting apropos of a certain group at the rally that was not put out in front of everybody by the mainstream media. And that was a group called Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
And they stands for anti-fascism.
And they're the ones that they cover their faces.
Yes.
You know,
they look like Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are kicking over statues, kind of like the Taliban does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can tell right. I have a really high opinion for these kind of people.
Right.
And I suspect that if you looked at their funding, you'd find it's the same funding for Black Lives Matters and for Occupy Wall Street. Now, it might be a conspiracy theory, and people can accuse me of wearing a tinfoil hat at home, which is true sometimes, but not really. But I don't think, I think there is a nefarious activity here underneath the whole scene. And so Victor Hanson said, he talked about, his article is mostly about hypocrisy. So I went to Wikipedia and looked up their definition. It was enlightening. Hypocrisy is the contrivance of false appearance of virtue or goodness while concealing real character or inclinations, especially with respect to religious and moral beliefs. Hence, in a general sense, hypocrisy may involve dissimulation, pretense, or a sham. And then Mr. Hanson goes through and he says, well, what about these statues if these Antifa progressives are so anti this, that, and the other thing? Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest, the founding member of the Ku Klux Klan. Are you tearing down his statue? Well, I don't know. Supreme Court Justice Robert B. Taney. He's the guy that wrote the Dred Scott decision mm-hmm. that started the Civil War. You tearing down his statues? I don't think so. He goes on, Margaret Sanger, the head of Planned Parenthood. Well, she's got to be a far-left liberal, right? No, she was unapologetic about racist eugenics. She pushed abortion to reduce the non-white population. I'm
Jay Davidson, you know, I don't think a lot of people really realize that. She was a racist.
She was a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, same thing, echoed Sanger. She said growth in population recommended abortion based on race. She said growth in population that we don't want to have too many of.
That's astounding.
Excuse me.
It's astounding.
This is like the Germans, the Nazis, and their selective breeding, their Aryan mm-hmm. little gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it turns against the Jewish people and other people that weren't of Aryan descent.
Right.
So this is a path that I think all progressives and liberals should just stop and think about before they go down this path any further.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. You know, and I was thinking about this. I mean, I think that human beings would like to have purpose to their lives.
Right.
And I think this emotional response to, and you see, it's a lot of these young kids that I think have gone through the education system, which that's a whole nother conversation about. But I think that they've been kind of, they think that they're doing maybe something good, that they're standing up against the man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think that if, you know, in 50 years from now, when they're sitting with their grandchildren, if they have any, you know, I wonder if they could say, you know, I stood against a Confederate statue and tore that down. Or how about they say, you know, we were having many, many murders in Chicago of young Black children, young Black men and women. And I decided to go in and make a difference about that.
Right.
You know,
it's a very good analogy. What are they doing about this terrible situation in Chicago? Nothing. They're complaining about a statue that can't fight back. I'm sorry. And if you want to destroy our history, you are no better than the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, because that's what they do. They go into other nations, conquer them, and destroy their history. And every conqueror, every despotic conqueror in history has done just that. And it's wrong. It's truly wrong. you know what? We have a history. There's certain parts that we can learn from our history. And thank goodness that the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, stopped slavery. Does anybody know that? The Republicans are so anti-black, excuse me, we're the ones that stopped slavery. And the Democrats get all the credit, and yet they're the ones, the head of the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
So what is going on here?
Right. Well, and you know, and Ike Eisenhower came back from World War II and realized that segregation in the armed forces, you know, really concerned him. So in 1957, he put forward a Civil Rights Act, and you never hear about that.
Right.
You know.
He realized that, you know, the color of the skin, the religious base, this isn't relevant. This doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter to me, and it doesn't matter to you. We're going to do everything we can to judge the person on who they are, what their integrity is. Are they hypocrites or not? You know, can I trust them or not? And that's the major criteria, regardless of all these extraneous things.
Right. It is the character of the person. And we have moved away from that. And Jay, as I was driving over here, I thought, I think when we moved away, we moved into hyphenated words for American. Instead of I'm American and I happen to be whatever the descriptor is, we've gotten the descriptor or the identity and then American. And Abraham Lincoln also said a house divided against itself cannot stand.
He's exactly right.
And that is why we are really in a we're in a dangerous time right now in America. And I think that we have to do what Jennifer Schubert Aiken is doing up in Steamboat. Is we have to talk about these big ideas. That's what we do every day here on the radio show, and challenge people to think big ideas, because that's what we're founded on.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the Democratic Party is better at this, and this is not a compliment, at using the greatest hyperbole, the greatest emotional impact, the most passionate impact. Let's call Trump a fascist. And, well, everybody hates fascism, well, right. Me included. Well, should I hate Trump because you call him a fascist? He's not. He's the opposite of a fascist. He's doing everything he can to prevent the federal government, even though he can't speak to save his life and all that. I get that. But it's such hypocrisy.
Well, it is. And, you know, sometimes you have to peel it back. You have to take a look at what people are doing instead of what they're saying. And so we have Jay Davidson, founder and CEO of First American State Bank. And we're talking about the economy. We're talking about the progressive war against the dead statues. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We'll be right back.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Molly is on vacation this week, and I hope she's having a great time. I haven't called her once, so she's having a real vacation. We are the AmeriChicks. Check us out at AmeriChicks.com. And Jay Davidson is in studio with us. And many of you have mentioned how much you appreciate his views on things, his ideas and his thoughts. If you want to ask Jay a question, the phone number is 303-632-4160. That's 303-632-4160. The last segment, we talked about Victor Davis Hanson's piece in Town Hall, The Progressive War Against the Dead. And it is astounding that we've got people that are taking down statues from like a long time ago, and they think that that's pretty important. And Jay, you know what? I don't think it's really about standing against, you know, whatever it is they think that they're standing against. I think it's really about power and misbehaving is what I think it's about.
It's power. I believe, and this could be a conspiracy theory, that there are elements in our nation, perhaps well-intentioned, perhaps not, who would prefer to tear down the ideal of America. The thing that a lot of us love dearly, and tearing down these statues, destroying our history, tearing down the barriers between the sexes, doing whatever else they can suits their purpose.
You know, I think that's true. And, you know, I don't agree with the KKK or, you know, all of that over there. However, I do feel that we have had a war on our men and boys in America for like a long time. That is a show that I would like to do. I mean, you hear all the time holding up women and girls, and I think that we have marginalized our men and our boys, and I think that we need to really realize that there's never, you can't, Lincoln said this, you can't raise somebody up by tearing somebody else down. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. So bring everybody else up. Give them a higher ideal, which is what Lincoln did. He's a brilliant man, a true philosopher. And he gave people inspiration to try to do something that looked almost impossible. I mean, an actual fighting war between people in the United States, unheard of, unconscionable, terrible. And yet people rose to the occasion and the Union forces prevailed. So I agree with you. Getting people to follow a greater ideal is a very good idea. Now, I must say, and as I mentioned before, the hypocrisy of progressives, they do get people excited about an ideal, but I submit to you that their basic premise is not correct. It's faulty, and it should be recognized for that.
You know, Jay, I received a text message today from somebody that it was a text message of almost kind of hopelessness.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot of people out there right now, and what can we do, and, you know, just hopelessness.
Right.
And I finally said, this is what I said. I said, well, could be. However, we stand on the shoulders of giants, Washington, Madison, Payne, Jefferson, Lincoln, Reagan, Churchill, Wilberforce, Bonhoeffer. And then I mentioned some of our World War II vets, Otto Lyons, Guy Whitten, Dr. Farrington, Frank DeVita, my grandmother, and the list goes on and on. I said, I refuse to cede what has been passed on to me, bought with blood and treasure, without a fight. And I do believe that the hand of the divine provider is on President Trump, warts and all, and that he is the free person's best hope to thrive and prosper. And I thought, you know, I think we finally have to gently fight back on this hopeless message and say, you know, we do stand on the shoulders of giants. So
I think that's very well said, and I think you're exactly right. Rahm Emanuel codified the other side of the story, never let a crisis go unused. And Barack Obama and his ilk created despair in our nation.
They did.
And what they did was they formed up ideas that were greater than you or me, things that were so terrible that neither one of us individually could handle these terrible things that were happening to our nation. That creates despair. And so when you're in despair and you're not able to do anything, what is your immediate reaction? You go to the federal government and say, help me. That's the reaction. And this is a psychological setup for everybody out there that's not thinking these things through. And so they use despair as a tool to increase the power of the federal government. Every time a citizen says, well, there should be a law for that, they should stop and think, well, should there? I mean, what are the ramifications of that law? What are the ramifications of you talked about crony capitalism or cronyism, really. It's not capitalism.
Right.
It's the opposite of capitalism. Let's choose winners to be wind farm guys. Well, Barack Obama pumped billions of dollars into all these clean energy outfits. Everyone failed because it couldn't pass the test of the individual business. It couldn't pass the test of the marketplace. And that's what people miss here. So what can you do? Folks, listen to this kind of a program. Talk to Molly and Kim. Talk to other friends. Get informed. That's what you can do. Because our ignorance feeds their power. And our enlightenment destroys their power.
Well said, Jay Davidson. And one other thing. Cronyism and capitalism are two different things. Cronyism is where you have businesses, big businesses or businesses that are using government through either tax policy or sharebacks or whatever to pick winners and losers. Capitalism in its true form is where somebody comes up with they use their brain, their creative idea that makes other people's lives better, and where people will trade that value for value. And if the guy that comes up with that great creative idea gets rich, more power to him.
Right. You know, in the process of getting rich, what has he done? He's employed hundreds of thousands of people. He's employed a whole other industry that's supporting his business that's going down. He's created a product or a service that is desirable of their own free will to the American public. So you can knock this wealthy individual and say you're going to tax him to death. But our tax system is so progressive now, it is confiscatory to the people that make a lot of money. And that's why you see a lot of this money going overseas where it's not being taken away from the individual that made it. There's a level at which we all feel that we can participate in taxation, and we feel it's appropriate to pay for our nation. Infrastructure and military are just real easy to get. But when you start adding on social programs, I can't argue with you on an individual that needs help from a welfare standpoint. I can never argue against a Democrat on that because I probably agree with him. But when you look at the overall picture of how much money we're spending, how much bureaucracy we're putting into this thing, you start to realize that, number one, it's not successful. And number two, we're wasting money that would much be better served if it were still in the private sector, still with the individual who actually earned the money. Federal government doesn't make any money. They tax, and they take money from the people that earn the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we all have to keep in mind as we go down this road.
Mm-hmm. Jay, that reminds me, I heard two different headlines within the last 48 hours. One is that Colorado has the second highest opioid usage in the country. The other headline that I heard was that Colorado had received $8 million from the federal government to fight opioid use. I'm thinking, well, somehow this isn't working very well. So
it never works. I'll give you another example, and this one is historical. Lyndon Baines Johnson started the war on poverty.
Right.
And the poverty rate, the below the area median income, was 14.8% back in the 1960s when he started it. Now, we run this thing for 60 years, spent billions and trillions of dollars on it. You know what the poverty rate is today?
14.8?
Exactly.
No way.
Way.
Oh, my
way.
Gosh. But what has happened is a lot of money has been taken from regular individuals, hardworking individuals. And the people that have gotten rich on this have been bureaucrats and lobbyists and politicians.
Absolutely.
They've not created anything. And if they really cared about what they were doing, they would have real results.
Right, but they're not going to, because the only thing I can agree with Warren Buffett on, because Warren is one of the biggest crony guys in the world. But he did say something interesting. He said, nobody washes a rental car. Nobody takes care of something given to them.
That's right.
And this is what's wrong with the whole thing. You know, I talk a lot about Fannie and Freddie and the genesis of the great subprime collapse and this genesis of the great recession that we're still in, actually. And the head of Fannie Mae is a Clinton appointee. That gentleman in the last year that he was at Fannie, when we were in the midst of this crisis, pocketed $93 million.
That is astounding.
Yeah, it's crooks.
But, you know, Jay Davidson, what happens is people think that, as you mentioned, that the federal government needs to do something. Somebody needs to do something. And instead, if we look at it ourselves, for example, on the opioid situation, if in fact I was giving my own dollars to a nonprofit or whatever to try to fight this this epidemic, I would expect results instead of being second in the nation in opioid use.
And I'd question those statistics, to be honest with you. Colorado's also listed as one of the healthiest states in the nation, one of the most highly educated states in the nation. And then, on the other hand, we spend the least on education. Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
You know, it is interesting. Statistics are whatever you want them to say. So, Jay Davidson, great. It's wonderful having you in studio. We're going to go to break. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com, and we'll be right back.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Krebel.
Like millions of other Americans, I recently replaced some windows with more energy-efficient windows, thinking I was saving on energy bills and being a responsible citizen. But I found out that even something simple as replacing a window requires a permit from the county and the fees that go with it. Building permits were originally for public safety, and none of us want buildings to collapse. But if we look through the lens of liberty, we realize that too often such permits are not really about safety, but about revenue for the county. Some advocates may want to protect me from an installation that may not save as much energy as I wanted, But isn't that really my responsibility? Americans believe in limited government because we believe in self-government. We need the government to protect us from foreign invaders, not from drafty windows.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Well, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. I'm Kim Munson. Molly Vogt is on vacation. And check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. And a couple of things. You know, 88 Drive-In Theater, the historic 88 Drive-In Theater, is one of our Growing Our Brand partners. And the movies this week are Dunkirk, Annabelle, and Dark Tower. And be sure and check it out. I know it's a great evening to get out there at the 88 Drive-In Theater. The nights are just beautiful out there. And Susan has, I think, a secret way that she pops the popcorn. So be sure and check out the 88 Drive-In Theater in Commerce City. And then the other thing, Jay Davidson, we have you in studio here. And we have a new Growing Our Brand partner, Evan, your IT guy, which is a great new little company that's going to be available for individuals and businesses. And it's a network of IT professionals, and they're ready to provide on-demand help with all people's computer needs. And so their website is evanyouritguy.com. They think they're going to be going live probably mid-September. So go ahead and give your information so that they can keep you informed. And if you go to their website now and scroll down to the bottom and under the Discover tab, you'll see free webcam cover. And click on that. Fill out that contact information and tell them that you know us. Put in your mailing address, and you're going to get this one of these really cool little webcam covers in the mail. So check out evanyouritguy.com. So I just love entrepreneurs.
It's getting to be so important today. You're just totally reliant on your computer and iPhone and all the other things.
I know. If the electricity goes off, I am up a crick.
Well, yeah, get a hamster to run one of those inverters.
I think so. So, Jay Davidson, thank you for staying through this. This conversation has gone by so quickly, and really important things. We talked about this whole thing of knocking down statues and what it's really about, power. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about despair and hopelessness, that is something that has been really, I think, put forward for a long time in America. And we need to be fighting these ideas with the hope of the American idea.
Yes.
And you are an entrepreneur. You founded and you are the CEO of First American State Bank. So you're on the firing line every day on that. And we also like to talk about empowering the economy. And whenever we hear of things closing, kind of go, I mean, it always kind of puts a knot in my tummy when I think, something's closed.
Sure.
And today there was a headline that Sears is closing another 28 of their Kmart stores. They've already closed 300. And, what's going to happen? We have all these shopping centers. So many of these cities and towns live off of sales tax.
Right.
So do you have your crystal ball? What's going to happen, Jay Davidson?
Well, I have a slightly different view of this thing than a lot of Americans. So if you'll indulge me for just 1 minute, this is natural destruction of a capitalist society. When an entity becomes obsolete and is no longer fulfilling the needs of the individual consumer, they're bound to fail. And sadly, these great stores are failing. The reason? Well, Walmart came in, undercut Kmart, who was already the low-cost leader. And then now Walmart is endangered by Amazon. And then what's the next one after that? It's just like the taxi guys are in trouble because Uber's better at it. Well, at least better at driving cars, not much else, I guess, mm-hmm. from what I'm hearing. But, they're better at driving cars than the taxi drivers are.
Well, and it's because it's individuals. It's their own
individuals.
Cars.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because what you got to keep in mind is that there's always creation of new business, except for the last 10 years. For the first time in our history since NFIB, National Federation of Independent Businesses, has been keeping track of it, there were more businesses destroyed than created. It's never happened before. So
that's astonishing.
It's astonishing, and it's very dangerous. And that's why I say, you need to make a decision, America. Do you want more of this government nonsense coming down? I'll tell you why these guys aren't starting their businesses. It's because banks like me are not lending to them. We're not
because
lending.
Because you can't.
I can't. I reduced the size of my bank by $50 million to satisfy a federal regulation that just popped up all of a sudden on my capital. So
that means
banks,
you don't have capital that you could lend to people so that they could go out and create a business.
Yeah, I have capital, but I need to reduce my assets and my lending by $50 million so I can hit a ratio I have to get over a certain ratio of capital to asset. It's complicated, but mm-hmm. the bottom line is, yes, I do not lend now like I used to lend. And then the government comes in and says, well, you, Mr. Bank, I don't like you doing commercial real estate loans. Well, that's our bread and butter here in Colorado. This is what we do. And guess who inhabits the commercial real estate that I lend to? Mom and pop shops, startup businesses. So that gets shut down. I get very angry when I think about the vaunted Federal Reserve doing all this monetary policy, having all these fancy meetings. Now they're in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this week, talking about the future of the whole world. And they can't even figure out that their own federal regulations are shutting down banks and businesses. We had the opportunity to meet with Senator Gardner a few days ago. We had a private meeting with him and talked to him about this very thing and got him excited about the idea that there's a ramification for some of the things that are happening, even in the Choice 2 Act that Jeb Hensarling put up to the Senate and the Senate's looking at right now. There's ramifications to the kind of games that the federal regulators, banking regulators are playing, just like the EPA was playing and is playing with the energy companies. Or you just name it off. The controls of the bureaucracy have gotten so extensive that this is the other way that the government takes control.
Right.
And
we move to the administrative state. And when that happens, I think that everyday Americans think, hey, you know, we have a representative government. Everything's transparent. I've seen it all the way from city council all the way up. There's things that happen. It's all done kind of behind closed doors administratively. And then it's just kind of presented to the elected official and the electorate. It's already pretty much a done deal. And it's like, how do we stop this?
Well, doing what you're doing. Honestly, I've seen your work shining the light of truth on what these people are doing. You stopped quite a few of these crony things that they've been up to here.
We have, but let me just put it this way. We have a very good, we'll always have a job at this rate.
Yep. Well, you had asked me about Kmart and going down. And I say, think back 150 years in the 1850s and beyond to the 1900. We were 90% of our output, our economic output, was based on agrarian, on mm-hmm. farming, ranching, you know, growing things. And then that changed to the industrial and then to manufacturing and then now to computer technology. These are evolutionary changes that occur as a natural part of a thriving, living, economic biosystem. And as sad as it is for the individuals that work at Kmart, they have got to go back out and retrain themselves. But that's part of living. And if you stop learning, you stop living. So as sad as this is a natural progression. I hate to use that word, a natural improvement in our basic American economy.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to get the manufacturing jobs back in America for a lot of reasons. Because our labor costs are too high, our standard of living is too high. But you know what? The good side is our standard of living is too high. People can live now pretty good,
right,
even having a relatively menial job. And plumbers, they make a fortune. I mean, these guys are well paid, and they deserve it.
I'm
not knocking that. They're entrepreneurs in their own right, mm-hmm. and they solve a problem that I sure don't want to solve.
And when you need it solved, you need it solved immediately.
Right now. And they seem to know that.
Definitely. You know, as you're talking about this, and there's a couple of different things. There's a whole lot of talk about autonomous cars. And I'm a free market girl. If these things can, stand on their own merit, great. And many of the people that are pushing forward, you know, all of this autonomous cars and all this, they talk about the horse and buggy, that it was Henry Ford that made the horse and buggy obsolete, which he did. But he didn't do it with the coercion of government.
Exactly.
And that is the thing that I keep trying to peel back and take a look at, Jay Davidson.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that's the key issue. If it is free, if there is freedom in America anymore, then let the freedom decide who wins and who loses. It's much better than having the federal government deciding who wins or loses. And normally you see what the progressives are doing is their social engineering.
Right.
They don't like gas, so we're going to go to electric. Well, have you thought about the cost of producing that electricity? It's much higher and much more environmentally unstable than the cost of the gas it's replacing. Same with these autonomous cars. Why is the government pushing this? I think you got to look behind the scenes because it doesn't make any sense to me why they care. They're going to save lives? Sure. Until that computer that crashes on me every other day decides to crash on, you can't rely on anything but yourself is what it comes down to.
Well, and the other thing, we're just about out of time, but on these autonomous cars, I've been thinking about it. It's really kind of a socialistic situation. I mean, I take care of my car. I make sure that my car is serviced. I keep it clean. Right. With an autonomous car, what if I get a car that the person before, yesterday had been out partying late into the night and, maybe had too much to drink. And, is that what I really want to have arrive to take me? And I'd rather have my own car.
Absolutely. And why shouldn't you? Why should this be forced on you?
Right. But there's a whole lot of money and there's a whole lot of people that are pushing this forward. And I think that we need to keep the light of day on that as well.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
So, Jay Davidson, I just really love having you in studio. We have about 1 minute. What would be kind of a final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
The fact that you as an individual do have the freedom and you have to take it and you have to exercise it every day of your life. And that freedom is to learn, to grow, to get better. And in doing so, I think you'll help every other person around you do the same.
That's kind of channeling like a Ronald Reagan, I think.
He's the man.
Well, Jay Davidson with First American State Bank, thank you so much. We love having you. We get to have
you
on once a month. And so we'll have you on again in September. And I've learned a lot. I always learn a lot when we talk with you. We talked about the Progressive War Against the Dead, which was Victor Davis Hanson's article in
Town Hall.
And then we talked about, we talked generally just kind of about America and hope and how we've had despair and that's been fermenting here in America. And then, of course, we talked about the evolution of capitalism. Kind of what happens there. So, Jay Davidson, thank you so much. And we always like to end the show with a quote. And typically, we've done a founder, Ronald Reagan, Maggie Thatcher. Today, it's going to be Jay Davidson. And that is, we are neither liberals nor conservatives anymore. We are Americans first. And we believe in the rights of individual freedom, not in the right of the federal government to tax us to death or determine our health care or nanny us to death. So that is Jay Davidson, First American State Bank. We greatly appreciate having you in studio.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Okay. And we are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. Tomorrow we are going to have on the line with us Ray Pegram, who was a World War II radio operator at D-Day on a C-47. So we are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Vote, Kim Munson, and we'll see you tomorrow.